Later, when Rosser's determination to fight for Frank became known, Chief Beavers admitted that the exclusion of Rosser was a mistake, that the police orders had been taken too literally, and Rosser was then permitted to talk to his client. Rosser abandoned his plan to sue out a writ of habeas corpus. The police explanation only added mystery to mystery and really explained nothing. When Rosser reached the police station, he was told that strict orders had been given against anyone seeing Frank. If Frank was not under arrest, by what right was his lawyer forbidden to see him? As soon as the police station was reached, Frank was taken at once into the detective's office, and the doors were barred against all. The detectives would say nothing of what took place behind the closed doors. The detective office is on the third floor. At the bottom of the stairs on the second floor, call officer John West was stationed to bar all who attempted to go to the floor above. Frank to be kept under guard. It was learned late this afternoon that Frank will be held on the technical charge of suspicion. He will not be placed in a cell, but he will be under guard. An extra policeman will be employed to keep watch over the factory superintendent in the police station, and Frank will pay for the services of the man. Luther G. Rosser, counsel for Frank, would not make a defy factory head taken into custody. Lawyer, Bard, later admitted to client continued from page one. Knight statement this afternoon as to his plans for obtaining the freedom of his client. He said that he would institute proceedings if he considered Frank was being held an unnecessarily long time. At the same time that the Frank proceedings were underway, Gober and Jackson, attorneys for J.M. Gant, also in custody in connection with the crime, made formal application for a writ of habeas corpus before Judge Bell, and a hearing was set for 4 o'clock this afternoon. Frank previously had been questioned by the police. He was brought to the station Monday morning in company with his attorneys, and there made a lengthy and detailed statement to the detectives. The authorities had announced they believed Frank had not knowledge of the crime. Their sudden action today appears to be freighted with great significance in view of the fact that they have already quizzed him as to all he knew in connection with the affair. At the factory of the pencil company, reporters were suddenly excluded. "We've been harassed enough by the reporters of the newspapers," was the explanation volunteered by Ed Montag, in charge. "This plant has had all the notoriety it wants." In the working ranks of the National Pencil Company is believed to be the last hope of solving the great strangling mystery. If these workers are barred to the press and to the public, and admission is denied to the factory, those in authority have effectually closed one of the most important avenues for the solution of the crime. Frank Last, in Building Frank, to a Georgian reporter just before his arrest, said, "No one is more anxious to learn of the whereabouts of Mary Fagan Saturday afternoon and night than I am. The company is exerting every effort to get information and has employed a Pinkerton detective to work on the case." Officials of the company also thought it best to retain counsel to assist in the investigation, while every one of the foremen and head men about the factory is endeavoring to find out if any of the employees know anything. "I deeply regret the carelessness shown by the police department in not making a complete investigation as to fingerprints and other evidence before a great throng of people were allowed to enter the place. The affair is exceedingly embarrassing to me. To know that the authorities even felt that they should detain me for a while and question me leaves a bad taste, and I am doing everything possible to locate the guilty man." Arthur White and Harry Denham, the last two workmen in the factory plant the day of the tragedy, declared to the Georgian that when they left the building shortly after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Superintendent Frank was the only man remaining. White's statement follows. "Denham and I went to the factory to work on Saturday, although it was a holiday. We left shortly after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We punched our time at exactly 3:10 o'clock. On our way out, I stopped in Mr. Frank's office and borrowed $2 of him. Denham went in with me. Neither of us saw anyone else in the building. When we left, Frank was the only person remaining. Denham and I stayed together most of the afternoon, and in the evening we went to the Globe Pool Rooms on Broad Street near Marietta. We had been in there a little while when I saw John Gant come in. He did not play, but sat down and watched the game.